Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 45, and it's a Monday, April 3rd, 2017. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, welcome to the show, everyone, where we talk about gay news, geek stories, and bizarre topics. So we mix it up once in a while. And how are you, Ray? How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Oh, pretty good. Just less sore than before because I have been, somewhat mobile now. It's been two weeks now since my accident, so my shoulder is getting better. And you saw me yesterday. I wasn't wearing a sling anymore, but I had to wear the sling during the day for work, so because it gets very stressful at work. And to guard.
Well, the sling that you've been in is not the one that you put in your arm, so.
Mm-hmm. You're right. No, I don't do that yet. Yeah. So it's getting shoulder's getting better, and I was able to do some yard work. How's that? Well, I kind of had to. I had to test the tiller.
Yeah, you can come over here and do any yard work at my house.
Want me to till it?
There's a whole backyard full of thorn bushes, limbs back here that need to be chopped up and hauled off.
You want me to till everything?
Come see me that. Huh?
You want me to till everything?
No, I want you to chop up all these thorn bushes back here and haul them off so I don't have to get stuck and cut up again.
Oh, that one. Well, there's a solution to that. You wear long sleeves or a jacket when you do
that. Long sleeves and jackets ain't going to stop those thorns, trust me.
Jackets will, especially if it's leather.
No, they'll poke. I had on leather gloves, and they were poking through the leather gloves.
Ah, well, you just have a bad angle then at times. But yeah.
Well, that's why, since you're so smart, I want you to come do it.
No, I'm tilling. I did some soil loosening, not thorn cutting. So no, I'm not going to do any of that. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
well, kind of like the thorn birds around here. So
yeah. So you guys get. Yesterday you had a good dinner.
A good dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So had a good friend over, and then had an old friend over. Actually, there were two old friends. So one I've known since I've been in Houston, and the other one I've known for a little while, just a little bit.
So. What do you call this? What was your specialty that evening?
We had honey lime pork.
Is that your idea?
Yep.
It's pretty good.
I made honey lime pork.
I'm impressed.
And I made a brownie bomb.
That's called the brownie bomb? I thought it's just brownie chocolate mousse, but it's a brownie bomb.
It's a brownie called brownie bomb.
If you
paid attention to my Facebook profile, you'd have seen where I posted the recipe on my profile.
Oh, okay. Well, you know me. I'm just
you don't pay attention to anything I do.
I do. It's just that sometimes I don't look at Facebook. I was busy the whole day. I only looked at Facebook when I got to your place. So that's when I had that. Yeah. So you didn't like the idea of avocado ice cream that I brought, didn't you?
No, not avocado ice cream. Although it might be okay. I might have to try it.
Oh, okay. Well, too late. I ate it all.
You're going to get fat.
I will be, probably. Hey, listeners, have you guys tried avocado ice cream before? It's really good. I like it. Anyway, it reminds me of during my childhood that it's pretty big. Because in the Philippines, avocado is a dessert. It's not used like guacamole or anything put in a taco. It's actually made into a shake or put condensed milk in it and make it sweet, and it's really good. It's a dessert.
And it's a fruit, and from here, it's a condiment.
That's right. Actually, it is a fruit because it's got by the looks of it, it's a seed. It's like a pear, or it's like a peach. It's got a pit inside, and so it is a fruit.
Well, then I'm a fruit, too, because I have seed inside of me.
Oh, that's right. You don't have a seed? Did you get a vasectomy?
I don't sell my seeds, but nobody wants my seeds.
Oh, hot. That's kind of sexual when you say you want to seed someone. Okay, so what about you, Ray? You just worked on the house yesterday?
Well, the bosses had me working really hard yesterday on Saturday, so they wore me out. Oh. I had to cancel my plans and come home and get in the bed. I was so tired.
I bet.
But I'm done, and I got my cruise ready. My cruise is paid for now.
Oh, yeah. It's nice to go on a cruise, right?
I get to go see the Pacific Northwest in the fall.
Wow.
I get to go to Seattle, Astoria, Oregon, San Francisco, and Vancouver.
There you go. You get to travel.
All on a cruise ship.
Mm-hmm. Just bring home a hot boy from Alaska or something. You know, a very hot 30-year-old or something. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. Oh, shit. Did I say something bad again? No, it's nothing. Anyway, so let's go to our stories, Ray. What do you say?
Okay, we got two gays today, besides me and Maynard. Our Maynard and I. Let's get proper English up in her.
All right, okay.
Two victims run down in Montrose may have been targeted. The Houston Police Department is on the hunt for suspects involved with the running down an award-winning executive chef and another man in the Montrose area around 2:44 a.m. Monday, March 27th. Houston police have identified the victim as Chad Travis, 31, of Delaware, and William Calcert, 44, of San Antonio. Houston believe that Calcert is not a real name. Travis was in Houston as a guest chef working backstage at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo that ended on Sunday. Houston police confirmed that at least one of the victims has refused to cooperate with investigators, making the investigation difficult. Both victims had been released from the hospital. The incident occurred at the 100 block of Hyde Park Boulevard at Helena Street. Witness described the double hit and run as possibly targeted. Houston police are looking at all options, including hate crime motive. Conflicting other reports from several local media outlets indicated that the hit and run involved one car. Witnesses indicate there were two. There were two cars. It looked like one red SUV swerved on purpose to hit one guy. One witness tells all about news. Then the car drives right at the next guy. The witness explains the men were not in the street, but standing in an empty space between two cars. Right after the red car hit the men, the black BMW drove up. The occupants of both cars seemed to cheer loudly, the witness says. This is the second hit and run at the same location in a week. So I don't remember seeing anything about the first hit and run. Do you, Maynard?
No, I didn't, no. However, this kind of hits home because it's... All right, our neighborhood, these are the places that Ray and I occasionally go to. And when we meet a couple of friends, I do that. We have fundraisers in those bars sometimes. And going to those places, it's kind of regular for us on a Sunday. Or it happens on a weekend, you know. We go there. These are places, this is our turf. And here we are being targeted.
But it sounds a little fishy since one of the guys are not cooperating. And they don't believe he even gave his real name.
Maybe because I'm sure there are reasons, but still, a crime is a crime. He's injured, but there's still they did say they're still investigating if there's anything other than
that. But I thought that was quite interesting. Well, I think it's quite interesting that is this a hate crime or are these two guys done piss somebody off and they're getting it back?
Yeah, probably the latter. There's some, to me, my opinion is the latter, that there's some, they some pissed off somebody.
Because since one of them's not cooperating, something was up. I don't know. We'll find out. Hopefully we'll be able to find out what happens another week or so.
But if both of them were hit and they are not related to each other, see, one is from Delaware, one is from San Antonio, and their age gaps are pretty big. So chances are they really do not. They may not have, nothing in common. So they're just bystanders. And they got hit. And that's a big possibility, too, regardless.
Well, they weren't bystanders. They were the two that the car ran over.
Well, yeah, they were
standing there together. So something's up. And I have a feeling the two of them were out at the bar together.
Oh, really? So do you think they're dating? Maybe. Everything right now is
they were hooking up during the rodeo.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them straight and married back in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. But still, it's sad because, like I said, this is our turf. This is the place where we hang out, and still, this happens. It happens all the time. I mean, this like the last sentence there is: this is the second hit and run at the same location in a week. So it happens so often. But still,
The question was the other hit and run aimed at two guys that are reportedly gay guys, or is it just an accident?
No, I think it's a hate. I'm beginning to think it's a hate crime because this is the second time a hit and run happened in the same location. How many? Same location. which I myself have heard. Remember those times whenever I ask someone, I'm going back to the car, okay, please, can someone walk with me? Or, you know, that's what I do sometimes when I'm in Houston. I don't like walking alone because things like this happen. So it's really sad. I think it's a hate crime. It's something nefarious. It's something really planned, something homophobic, something that, you know.
I don't know. I think since one of them's not talking, something else is up.
Yeah. I don't know. It's maybe he's just not out to his family, maybe. Or they don't really know his name. Maybe he doesn't have his ID. Anyway, so it's really sad, like I said. So we'll probably keep reporting about these stories so it could, you know, be talked about and the people are made aware that Houston gay bars, that area in Montrose is still experiencing a lot of these hate crimes. So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the, another story. Should I take this, Ray?
Yep.
Okay, so Gilbert Baker, designer of the Gay Pride rainbow flag, dies. So it's really sad about this, the rainbow flag, because, you know, we always have, every bar, every gay bar has this, something rainbow. And actually, coming to the U.S., I'll tell the story after I tell the story here. So Gilbert Baker, the colorful gay artist and activist who created the iconic rainbow flag, has died. Mr. Baker's first flag was an 8-colored banner that flew over the 1978 Pride festivities in San Francisco. The rainbow flag has since become a symbol of the LGBT community recognized worldwide. Celebrated at Pride festivals, brandished at protests, and forever raised over the corner of Castro and Market Streets. Friends said Mr. Baker, at 65, died Thursday in his sleep at his home in New York. At least he is peaceful. So Mr. Baker, a former soldier who taught himself to sew, proposed the rainbow flag at a time when San Francisco's gay and lesbian community was struggling to find a symbol to unite under. He personally rejected other ideas like the pink triangle, a Nazi badge reclaimed by gay activists that Mr. Baker found depressing. Yeah, it is kind of depressing having pink triangles. And also the Greek letter lambda, which we deem to be obscure. Yeah, it's too obscure. So, the rainbow was joyful, celebratory, and inclusive, and it was relatively easy to make and share. That day when he raised the first rainbow flag, he knew that was his life's work. And for every march, every protest, every celebration, every memorial, he was always sewing and sewing and sewing, said Cleve Jones, a longtime San Francisco gay activist and friend of Mr. Baker's, who helped him hand dye the fabric for the first flag. So yes, the rainbow flag, yes, it has been a symbol for LGBT, and it's always been raised in every activity, in every bars that I know. So when it first came to the U.S., Ray, I was in New York, and a longtime friend of mine, he already passed a couple of years ago. His name is Michael. He was showing me around New York, and he showed me, look at that place right there, that bar. That is a gay bar. Why? Because there's a rainbow flag. You will know it's a gay bar if there's a rainbow flag. And me being FOB about 17, 18 years ago, that's the first time I ever heard of it and the first thing I knew about rainbow flag. So, so that's my experience with the rainbow flag. Did you know the rainbow flag even before when you were still in South Carolina, Ray?
Yes, I knew about the rainbow flag and what it meant. But back then, a lot of people just used to have little rainbows on the rear window car stickers, and I used to think everybody was gay, and they really wasn't.
Oh, okay. So that's how you looked at it, okay?
It just, everybody used to have these little plastic cling-on things that used to stick in their rearview mirrors that were all rainbow flags, and it used to be like, oh, everybody's gay.
Everybody's gay.
Not really.
Yeah. You are. Only you are gay. Or mostly gay.
Only me.
Only you. Okay, so would you like to take the geek one because it is comic books, or should I take it?
Oh, you can do it.
Okay, so yeah, I did pick the article because this is from our Gay Geek Bazaar Facebook page. Thank you, Caesar, for posting this. So Marvel executive says emphasis on diversity may have alienated readers. So this is from The Guardian. Marvel's vice president of sales has blamed declining comic book sales on the studio's efforts to increase diversity and female characters, saying that readers were turning their noses up at diversity and didn't want female characters out there. Misogynist much? So, over recent years, Marvel has made efforts to include more diverse and more female characters, introducing new iterations of fan favorites, including a female Thor, Riri Williams, a black teenager who took over the Iron Man story as Ironheart. It's kind of a cute name. Miles Morales, a biracial Spider-Man, and Kamala Khan, a Muslim teenage girl who is the current Miss Marvel. Yeah, I actually collect that comic book for some time. She was Miss Marvel. Her powers were like she could grow, she could extend her arms, she's pretty strong. It's pretty interesting. But she's a Muslim teenager. Anyway, so but speaking at the Marvel's retailer summit about the studio's falling comic sales since October, David Gabriel told ICV2 that retailers had told him that fans were sticking to old favorites. But what we heard was that people didn't want any more diversity. He said they didn't want female characters out there. That's what we heard, whether we believe that or not. So, he added, I don't know that's really true, but that's what we saw in sales. I guess they see it in sales as really declining. Any character that was diverse, any character that was new, or female characters, anything that was not a core Marvel character, people were turning their noses up. So Gabriel later issued a clarifying statement saying that some retailers felt that some core Marvel heroes were being abandoned, but that there was a readership for characters like Ms. Marvel and Miles Morales who are excited about these new heroes. He added, and let me be clear, our new heroes are not going anywhere. We are proud and excited to keep introducing unique characters that reflect new voices and new experiences into the Marvel Universe and pair them with our iconic heroes. So, yeah, I could see that once in a while, you're doing comic books, you're writing comic books, you're drawing them and everything. You need to have some diversity at some point.
There needed to be more diversity. But I also think there are plenty of good female Marvel characters out there they could develop and make stronger than characters than what they are. And like making Iron Man a woman, which I could see that happen. That would be that's okay in my book. But making Thor a woman, I think that was pushing the envelope a little bit far.
That's true.
If they'd come up with a new female god that was equal in Thor's power and stuff, I think that would have been great. That'd be like trying to take Batman and change him into something that he's not. So
yep, I agree. You should be introducing new characters, not replacing others with a female version.
Like, I think it's cool because I know Miss Marvel changes and now they have a different girl playing her, and I think that's great.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. To me, that's fine. But a female Iron Man, calling her Ironheart, you made a man a woman, pretty much, or a Thor, a god, became... That didn't make sense to me. If it's a woman already, develop that character or introduce a new character. Like what you said, Ray, introduce a new god. Or a new demigod, or a new half god. I don't know what Thor is.
Yeah.
Introduce a new one, like a lost sister.
Or maybe I don't know. I haven't read the storyline, but maybe took Thor, and Odin did something and split him in half, and there's a female version of him and a male version of him, with different qualities. So.
Oh God, that's kind of weird. I don't know. I do like the diversity. I do like that women are being portrayed right now as heroes, and right now, the upcoming Wonder Woman, it's really having a
I think
profile.
That's great. It's like, over the years, Wonder Woman has been developed very well. She's a very strong female character. People like her, male and female. So she's been developed really well.
Yeah.
But if you took Wonder Woman and turned her into a man, do you think that would go over?
No. Well, they did. Remember Wonder Man? There's a Wonder Man totally in
well, Wonder
West
Man
Coast
had totally
Avengers.
Different powers. It was from a totally different time.
Yeah, that's true. Even a totally different comic book, you know, draw. It's from Marvel. That's from West Coast Avengers. Wonder Man, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, he died and he lived again for some reason and he has powers, something like that.
Oh, yeah, he was imbued with some kind of radiation and it gave him powers, yeah. So.
Yeah.
But he still wasn't Wonder Woman. They didn't take Wonder Woman and turn her into Wonder Tranny.
I don't think I can put that as a title, Ray.
So.
I'll try not to.
Yeah,
okay,
but,
so what do
you know, so I think it's good that they play with stuff. But also think that canon stuff, they're going to have to keep some of that the same and then add new characters and develop new stuff. I mean, like, look at Guardians of the Galaxy. That was a little comic that's now, because the movie's just getting developed big time and everybody's talking about it. And I also wonder how much of the readership has gone down because they're like, oh, they're making a movie of it. I got TV shows now, you know. So...
Yeah,
maybe because it's moving to more mainstream stuff that some of the geekiness of going and collect those comic books are dying off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're talking about their retail stores. How much are online sales being affected for people that do the comics? Well, they download them to their pads and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And that's what
you
I do,
the
actually.
Same thing about that. They were talking about the retail front businesses being affected.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true.
So,
mm-hmm. It's really sad that they think of it that way, but, you know, maybe it will pick up. And our comments here that if it's canon, keep it together, keep it the same, and just introduce new ones or introduce new ones or develop the current ones.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's our geek part. Let's go to Bizarre Ray. This is Bizarre. Posted on Facebook, on our Facebook page, so it's kind of...
Yep. Yeah. Beauty and the Beast, the Saudi Arabia's Miss Camel Pageant. Dromedaries compete for $31 million in prizes.
Well, I would do that too, just to win $31 million. Yes.
Yep. So y'all know what a dromedary definite is. The definition is a single hump camel. So it's seriously the hump day camel.
Uh-huh.
So, and they are from Arabia and Northern Africa, and they only have one hump, not two humps. There's only two types of camels. You got a one hump and a two hump.
Okay.
You know what you get when you get three humps?
What?
An orgy. So.
Oh, God. Where did you get that?
Okay.
That wasn't bad.
Okay. On with the story. The tall, elegant competitors in the beauty pageant have drawn thousands of spectators from around the world, all gathered to gaze at their untouched natural beauty, kind of like me. The models hailing from various Gulf countries conveyed in Saudi Arabia to vie for the record $31 million in prizes. They're to be judged on features most associated with beauty in this pageant, including the length of their lashes, the size of their eyes, the shapes of their lips. The pageant's runway covers 12 miles of desert in Ramai, a governorate in the Raidin province. And its competitors are not supermodels, but rather camels, one-hump beauties of all colors and breeds. More than 50,000 camels are participating in the King Abdul. How do you say his name? Because I'm going to wreck it.
King Abdulaziz.
Camel Festival this month, often referred to as the Miss Camel Competition. The pageant, which runs through April 15th and is an annual festival that began in 1999 when a group of local Bedouins decided they wanted to stage a contest for the most beautiful camel because you get bored in the desert, people. That's how bored you get in the
desert.
That's
how bored they are. They're going to have a camel.
The competition went on to receive support from the Saudi royal family and has now emerged as a major cultural event with almost 1,400 owners of camels flocking from various Gulf countries. The organizers announced this issuance of 10,000 visas to people from around the world wishing to observe the camels, according to the organizers. The ships of the desert have traditionally provided Bedouins with food, clothing, and transportation. The camels range from the Al-Wada white camel and the Al matches here, dark camel, to Alhamore reddish brown camel. The most beautiful among the thousands of competitors are judged on various features, including the size of the camel's head, whether the lips cover its teeth. Can't be bucktooth in this competition. The length of the neck, the roundness, height and placement of the hump, my humps, my lady humps. The size of its eyes, how long the lashes are, how the nose droops, and whether the ears stand back. Visitors can buy, sell, and show care to camels while also seeking out professional advice on camel care and riding techniques. Camel auctions and trading take place in a luxurious VIP tent. Following strict regulations, only purebred camels are allowed to compete. And although owners outside of Saudi Arabia are able to enter the contest, the camel must be kept within Saudi Arabia,
so
according
no
to
mutts.
The news release. Yeah.
Okay.
So no outside girls. This ain't Miss World Camel here. This is Miss Saudi Arabia Camel. So you got to be in Saudi Arabia, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So teams of vets are enlisted to monitor the health of the camels. They insert a microchip into each to keep track of the camel throughout the competition and collect valuable data, surveys, and research on camels across the region. Findings showed the most popular camel to enter the 2017 pageant included the Al Majahir breed, a dark yellowish to black camel typical to the Arab region. Camel owners Manas, huh?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
What?
Nothing.
What did I do? Why are you
Arab.
Arab. I am from the South. South Carolina, not South Saudi. Camel owners must not only show each other camel with untouched natural beauty, but also swear that the age and ownership of the camel is accurate. So there you go. Trump can't get, I wonder if Trump's in on this beauty pageant.
Maybe he does. So they show around their toes, you know, do you think?
Yeah. My question is, did they when we were at the rodeo and I was showing you how we used to wash cows and comb them and fix the hair and all that stuff, I wonder if they do the same to the camels.
Probably they do, yeah.
Or they just leave them all natural.
There's no buck tooth. That's so funny.
No buck tooth.
No buck tooth.
Baby.
No buck tooth. That's a good one. No buck tooth camel hair.
Speaking of camels, have you seen the new pictures of Honey Boo Boo's mama? She's lost 300 pounds.
Oh, really? She's got to be sexy now. Lots of skin.
So, but she has had some work done, and she's lost 300 pounds. And she'd be like, all right, y'all bitches.
Wait. She lost 300 pounds, or she lost 300 pounds because of surgery?
I don't know. All I know is that the first picture of her emerged today after she's lost 300 pounds.
Wow, really paid off, huh? The mother, you're saying, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Mama boo boo.
Yep. Yeah, so.
All right.
Anyway, let's wrap this show up and get to bed. It's getting late.
That's right. But before we go, I'd like to say happy birthday to Dave. It's birthday tomorrow.
So. Dave?
Yeah.
Well, I need to say happy birthday to my sister because today is her birthday.
Oh, really?
You greet her? And a long-term friend of mine from college, Timothy Belt. Happy birthday, Mr. Organist.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday. So, also, they're out there in, that last weekend was Drenched Fur in Erie, Pennsylvania. We missed it this year.
I know.
We have.
But I'm going on a cruise, so Gary's just got a deal.
Sorry, Gary. Yeah. I have trips planned for this year also. So
I got a 7-day cruise, not a 3-day beer run.
Oh, kind of, wow. You would take that instead, right?
What?
And see, the cruise.
Yeah, 7 days of cruise, not a 3-day bear run, nope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Free food, free everything. You're going to be fat.
I'm already fat.
Oh, you are?
I'm already fat, yeah.
Well, okay, so let's get out of here, Ray. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I would like to thank Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. It's facebook.com/gaygeekbizar. And if you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizar.com.
Or if you want to send us your pictures of your favorite camel
in the Miss Camel contest,
you can send it to us. Or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327.
Yes, that's right. And, we could... played in the show. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. And go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you guys in the next show. Bye.